Penguin Random House Audio presents Elvis and Ginger by Ginger Alden. This is the author. To Elvis, for sharing a part of your remarkable life with me and my family. Your love, music, generosity, and many beautiful memories hold a special place in our hearts forever. To my parents, Joe and Walter, and my siblings, Mike, Rosemary, and Terry, for always being there. To my husband, Ron, and my son, Hunter, whose patience, love, understanding, and support I could not have done this without. I love you all. When love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. Khalil Gibran, the Prophet. Author's note. One September afternoon in 2001, I was standing on the side porch of my home in New York. The school year had just begun, and I was waiting for the yellow bus that usually came roaring up our street at this time to bring my son, Hunter, home. When the bus arrived at the end of our driveway, the door swung open and Hunter jumped out, racing toward me wearing a pair of oversized sunglasses he had taken with him earlier that morning. "Some of the kids on the bus were calling me Elvis," he exclaimed breathlessly. "Who's Elvis?" I was surprised that children as young as mine would know who Elvis was. Hunter's question caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared to reveal an extremely special relationship in my life to my son, whose birth 7 years earlier had been scheduled for August 16, the same day Elvis died. Hunter arrived 4 days late, sparing me the irony of having such a happy event coincide with the date of such a tragic event in my life. That afternoon, I told Hunter the simplest truth. "Elvis was a very famous entertainer," I said. I breathed a sigh of relief when he ran inside, seemingly satisfied with my response. As the year progressed, however, Hunter occasionally asked me more questions about Elvis. What kind of hairstyle did he wear? What kind of music did he sing? I knew these questions had to be prompted by conversations at school. Still, I kept my answers short and simple, knowing one day I'd have to say more. By the end of that school year, I had decided to tell Hunter a little about Elvis and me. I didn't know quite how to begin. It felt strange to talk with him about a man I'd loved long before meeting his father. Not knowing what my son's reaction would be, I was a little nervous and felt an involuntary tremble. I hadn't talked about Elvis in a long time. "This person you've been asking about, Elvis, well, Mommy knew him," I said, and then paused. I wasn't feeling comfortable enough to tell him that Elvis and I had been engaged, so I simply added, "Elvis was a very nice man I met long ago. He was someone who loved to sing and make people happy." I waited for any questions, but he just said, "Cool." And as he went off to play, I began to feel that all my apprehension about opening up this conversation with him was unnecessary. For him, it was simple. For me, it was profoundly complex. I had written down my memories of Elvis not long after he passed away as a way of holding on to them. I felt I had to grant a few interviews at various times, but I always kept the true, complete story and intimate details of our time together to myself. I went forward with my life, but over time, I was shocked and hurt to see that speculations, exaggerations, and complete untruths regarding Elvis, me, and our relationship were unjustly being told by a few people who had been around Elvis, people I'd barely gotten to know, and some I hardly knew at all. Some of their stories were then picked up and spread by other writers for their own Elvis biographies. Many books have sensationalized and even fictionalized Elvis as being depressed and in a downward spiral during his last year of life. However, the Elvis that I knew was not the way he was portrayed in the media. He saw his relationship with me as a new beginning and was excited about both the relationship and what the future would bring for the two of us. I knew I had a story to tell, but understood that the truth about my relationship with Elvis was one that would require a great deal of time and emotional energy to write. When I gave birth to my son, I devoted my time to him as he became my number one priority. I felt I couldn't be there for him as a mother if I chose to write such an intensely personal book. When my son went off to college, I felt the time was finally right, so I began putting together my memoirs. This proved to be an all-encompassing and extremely emotional journey. Elvis allowed many people in and out of his life, all of whom he developed different relationships with as his needs and desires evolved over the years. I was the last serious love he would let into his heart.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?